Hi, my name is Frances.
I'm Alice.
And welcome to this week's episode of Two Friends in a Pod, a place for friends to catch up on movies, music, TV, and all things pop culture. So how are you doing today, Alice?
I always find it so awkward to, like, you know, or like, no, not awkward, but it always feels so generic to be like, I'm good, but am I good, Frances? I don't know.
You're probably not. It's like 2 weeks from Christmas. Everything is just like, I'm holding on. I'm trying to hold on.
I think I've said to a few people, like, I'm just trying to make it through the year. And I'm not sure if that raised alarms or not, but because to me, I'm like, this is legitimately what I'm trying to do. I'm just like, yeah, holding on, just grasping on my last, you know, strings.
Reserve energy.
Yeah. And then just like pushing on. But I think to other people, it sounds like I'm just not coping. And, you know, maybe they're right. But anyway.
Not meaning to, make this a cry for help. But every morning I'm like looking at my calendar being like, okay, just 2 more weeks.
We can do
it. And eventually it'll be like 1 more week. And then eventually it'll be like 1 day and then I'll be free.
Yeah. And I can't wait for that Christmas break.
When people are like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I just want a nap.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
And watch TV. I've already got my list on my phone of things I want to watch. So that's my holiday plan.
Yeah. Sadly, my TV is broken, as I told you. So I hope I can source one ASAP. Because
you can use your laptop.
It's just not the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Anyway, what else is coming to a wrap? Well, Spotify Wrapped 2021.
What a transition.
I swear I got this email in like November or something saying that it was coming.
So yeah, I got that too.
Obviously, this has been in the works a while. Like, they can't just produce something like of this nature very quickly. But I think I remember it happening in, so when I got that email in November, thinking I'm not ready for that data yet.
But now it's here.
Now it's here. And obviously, I don't know. It's one of those ones where I'm like, yeah, I really do want to know, even though in my head I know what's coming. Because I know myself, I know what I'm listening to. No surprises here, but number one artist for you?
Our beloved boys, our loved Bangtan boys, BTS. No surprise.
No surprises. And I think we were both in the top 2% of the listeners this year. So we are real fans, not fake fans.
But then I saw someone on Instagram post her Wrapped, as everyone was doing, and then she was in the top 0.5%.
Oof. Okay.
Now I feel like I fail even more. I'm not even good at listening to them.
1.5% less.
Yeah. It's like we don't even try.
Yeah. Well, anyway. number one song for you?
Good old Butter. And I think it's because I just like when it came out, I got stuck in my head. So I definitely played it on repeat for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. I think
Yeah, not that it's like my favorite BTS song or whatever. Mm. I think it is a bit of an earworm. So I think I just like had it on repeat.
Mm. Same with me. So for me, that was actually number two. I think I just had this on repeat for a little bit just because the vibe was good. It was one that we'd like been anticipating as well. And also because it was just a single release and not an album release.
Mm.
So you know, if you play it in there, you kind of just keep it going. But my number one song was actually Without You by Kid Laroi. I was a bit surprised by that because I was like,
so
did I really listen? I mean, I do like that song, but did I really listen to it? Like,
did you have it on repeat?
I don't know. So like the way that I listen to music is, you know how people divide it by genres or moods and stuff? I just have like one big playlist that I put everything on. So that's why I know what was going to be in my most playlist, because it's literally just going to be that playlist,
because it's
just one playlist. And I think that was one of the first songs that I kind of put onto it. So maybe that's it, because it's just kind of repeated a lot, but just by nature of the way that I listen to music. I don't know.
Maybe you're just supporting Aussie artists.
Maybe it's that.
Yeah, you're just super patriotic.
Tell me your top 5 genres.
Oh, my top 5 genres was just embarrassing. Let me find it quickly because I screenshot it.
Embarrassed?
This doesn't even make sense. Number 1, K-pop. Number 2, dance pop. Number 3, show tunes. Number 4, the genre of boy band, and number five, the genre of Korean R&B. So it's really just like 1, 4, and 5 are really just K-pop.
Yeah, I guess they're like more specific K-pop. Boy band, I don't think is a genre. I have to.
I've never heard of that as a genre. Yeah. It's a type of artist.
What are you listening to that would be or like fall under boy band and not any other genre?
K-pop.
Yeah.
I don't even know what other boy bands exist.
Direction. They don't exist.
Yeah. I haven't even like listened to them in a while. All the boy bands I listen to are like K-pop boy bands.
Yeah, I wonder. It's so very specific, I would say.
Mm. Yeah. What were yours?
Number one for me was also K-pop, and number two was also dance pop, but number three was pop rap, number four was K-rap, and then number five is the one that threw me. So number five for me was drill.
Wait, what?
Drill music? Yeah.
Why? Who's your favorite drill artist?
I think it's because I listened to 1-4.
Okay.
There's no other explanation because I'm like, I don't listen to a lot of that genre. Not
yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
what for? Again, so. Supporting Aussie artists. There's like a correlation there.
So this today, I got an email from Spotify saying that, like, basically they were trying to advertise like merchandise like, to support your favorite artists, but they're like, this is not our merchandise. It's specifically like the artist merchandise, and the merchandise was for 1-4. It was like like windbreaker. And I was like, I am definitely not going to wear that.
You're not going to wear that to Mount Druitt?
God, no. Like,
as your as the biggest fan of 1-4 in Australia?
I'm definitely not the biggest fan. I do like them. I think they're really talented. I don't maybe agree with gang culture. Is that too controversial to say? I don't know. I'm trying to find the jacket for you.
Yeah, let me see. Is it? Does it give you Nike vibes?
Yes, for sure.
I feel like as well this year, because I haven't been on public transport as much, my Spotify Wrapped isn't super accurate as to what I really liked. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I've been listening to music as much as I normally would going on trains, because that's my primary. I'm primarily listening to music when I'm on public transport or like walking around, which, and you know, this year and the last, I've just been sitting in front of my window with my office work desk.
Do you play music when you're working or any other occasion?
I try to play it when I'm working, but it's really annoying because I keep getting interrupted. Like, I'm like playing music and it's like, oh, Zoom call. Playing music, phone call. And it gets really annoying. So then I tend to like stop it for a Zoom or a meeting or something, and then I don't press play again.
I guess it's like you need like a big chunk of time and you just kind of get in the zone and you start playing music and stuff. But you're
right.
Meetings and calls and stuff, it does tend to interrupt. I have been taking public transport like sort of once or twice a week when I do go to work, obviously not during lockdown, but before and like now even. And I feel like I'm gravitating towards a lot of more podcasts.
Oh, me too.
So like on the train to work, I would rather like listen to someone just chatting rather than music sometimes. And speaking of, my top podcast was You're Wrong About, which I think is something that we discovered maybe last year with the whole, was it during last year's lockdown? I can't remember, but it was the Princess Diana series that really got me into them.
Sorry to interrupt, but you should definitely get this windbreaker.
Okay, I can't. You know why I can't. And it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad. It looks good, honestly. It just looks like a standard windbreaker.
Then at the back, it has like a 1-4 in a kind of like world circle.
Yeah, but it's not like too, like if you didn't know, you just think it's like a sports brand.
Yeah, but if you know, then you know I'm being a tryhard.
Yeah, if I knew someone who had you for like a Secret Santa with an $80 limit, I would send them this and just be like, you have to get her this.
Mate, just.
Oh my God, you look so cool.
I actually feel like the biggest poser in the world. Like I genuinely enjoy the music, but I just can't. You know I can't.
It goes so perfectly with your Fila bum bag.
Yeah,
I know you have. Yes.
I can't.
Oh, God. Yes. Very nice. That's interesting. I didn't know Spotify like promoted merch like this.
Yeah, it was just today. Bit of a strange one. Yeah, so the email says support artists that soundtracked another totally not normal year. then in small writing, Spotify does not receive proceeds from the sale of this item.
Oh, bless. Yes. Yeah, I like use another platform to listen to podcasts. So my the podcast that came up on my Wrapped was not accurate at all. It was like a gaming podcast.
Which I know you probably listened to like once or something.
It was like you've listened to two episodes. So I do want to point out though, like, you know, a fan did send in their screenshot and we were number 4 on their Spotify Wrapped podcast.
I love
it. We're making strides.
In saying that, I think maybe you should turn your your podcast listening to Spotify just so you can get the data off for it. Because you know the other platforms don't support. They don't get wrapped, as all the memes are saying on the day. You know, Apple Music versus Spotify.
Oh, yes.
One time of the year where you wish you knew Spotify.
Yeah. I think I've never tried Apple Music properly, but you did give it a go.
I gave it like one night's worth of a go.
It was like shit.
I think it was in the beginning of it as well, and I just was very frustrated by the platform. I'm sure it's much better now. I just also am used to Spotify. There's no reason for me to change, realistically. Yeah. It's fine. Right. Like, I have no issues with it.
Yeah. Who were your top artists? So we know number 1 was BTS.
Of course. Number 2 was Stray Kids. Again, no surprises here. Number 3 was Kid Laroi. Number 4 was Enhypen. And number 5 was TPR Ian.
Oh, okay.
Again, another Aussie talent.
Yeah. You love Australians.
Just love supporting local talent.
Yeah. Okay, Actually,
I love that. Yeah, so Stray Kids has Australians, as we know. Kid Laroi is Australian. Enhypen has an Australian member. TPR Ian is also from Australia originally. So realistically, it's just BTS who are the foreign people here.
It's like 4 out of 5 were Aussies.
Yeah.
The Aussie line.
Next gen, you know.
I only had one Australian in my list. I had one BTS, number 2 twice.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Blackpink with, you know, Agel, Rosé. And then it was Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo for me.
Oh my goodness. Then how did you get boy bands?
Taylor got on there. Exactly. Boy bands. It's only BTS up there.
Yeah.
I don't know how Taylor snaked her way onto my list. I don't know what she did.
I don't know why. It's because you put
All Too Well on repeat.
Version. Yes. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Oh, yeah. God, she probably crept in last minute.
She's too powerful. Can't escape her. And yeah, what was your your audio aura?
My aura was wistful and focused.
Oh, mine was
confused
and comforting.
Okay. I'm confused by how this is sort of categorized. What's wistful music? Do they do it based on lyrics or mood or like, I don't know. What do you call it?
I don't know how Smooth Like Butter gets me in a wistful mood.
Yeah, same. And same with focus.
And why am I comforting? But I do like the Spotify Wraps coming out every year.
Yeah, they're always really fun, even though you can sort of guess what you've listened to because you're the one who's listened to them yourself. And they also have done a really good job at making it more personalized. In addition, so with that Wrapped, you do get a song sub 2021 playlist. And within that playlist, there were some like special messages from certain groups that you may follow or that appeared on your list. So for instance, for us and I guess me in particular, Stray Kids appeared on my list. I was very happy because I did not expect it. I was just listening to it randomly. And then, it was TXT. And then they started speaking and I was like, what?
Are you talking to me?
Like the message was like, thank you for listening to us and stuff. I was like, no, thank you. Like, you know, you're the ones who put out this like beautiful music for me to listen to, you know. I'm more than happy to support.
We got beautiful messages from ITZY twice. And then suddenly on the playlist, I hear Felix being like, thank you. And I'm like, what? So I got one from Stray Kids and then Tomorrow by Together. And the only like non-K-pop artist I got one from was Dua Lipa, which is kind of random.
Very random.
Yeah. Did you get anyone else aside from K-pop? No, okay. No. That answers my question.
Purely, K-pop. It was a lot of K-pop presence on my playlist.
What are your thoughts on people making fun of other people sharing their Wrapped on like Instagram stories or whatever? And did you personally share yours?
What do you mean by make fun? Like they're better because they haven't? Or
I feel like there's a bit of a smug air where you're like, I don't want like people like, I don't want to see your Spotify Wrapped.
All right. Just don't pay attention. Like I feel like that way about a lot of people's stories. And I don't really care. But that doesn't mean I'm going to hate on it. Like I'll just skip. Like it's fine. It doesn't bother me. Because like I think for some people I definitely am curious. So if it happens to be you, then it's for someone.
I'd love to see my friends. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I immediately shared mine with you.
Yeah. Why didn't you post it on your stories though?
Didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't either. Because everyone would just be like, oh, classic.
Like, yeah, but isn't that what it's meant to be? Like, it's meant to be you.
That's true.
Like, wouldn't it be weird if it wasn't you?
True. Maybe I just want to feel more interesting.
I think you're interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're like, I think you're interesting too. Which I'm interested in.
You're so interested in yourself. Maybe it's because, like, it's so mainstream.
Oh, whatever.
You want to be like, oh, like, I listen to this cool indie artist. Like, you probably haven't heard of them. But they're on my Spotify Wrapped. Like, I'm in their top 200 fans in Australia. Blah, 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 blah.
Whatever. I don't care about being unique.
That's true. Okay. I'm so happy being average.
I'm honestly, like, it's fine. I don't mind being the same as everyone else. That's fine. I've sort of succumbed to it, you know. I'm not going to be unique. I'm not going to look unique. It's cool. Yeah. Not trying to be. I'm not pretending I'm anything but. I'm just being realistic.
The one thing we should be proud of is like there was so much Gen Z lingo in the Spotify Wrapped. Like you understood the assignment. You were the main character.
Oh my goodness.
And I got it all. I was like, I got this. Vibe check. Like, I got it. I've been on TikTok for like 2 years now. I've been learning. I've absorbed.
I cringed a little bit at the language because it was like, I think Spotify is trying to be cool.
But yeah, honestly, it was just like an old person be like, you understood the assignment.
I'm like, yeah, like, I feel like that has passed.
Yeah. That's not it anymore.
Yeah, so maybe it was recorded or made like a month ago where it was relevant and now it's not relevant anymore. Because, you know, the like, language is always changing.
Yeah.
Especially on TikTok. So I'm like, could have done without some of it. But honestly, overall, I thought it was cute. Very personal and a lot of fun. Yeah, screw those people who hate on it because get one then. Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere
Apple
else.
Music.
Go to Tidal.
Yeah, do it.
I don't see Tidal Wrapped coming out.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone on Tidal.
Tidal doesn't exist.
I think so. I think it still exists. Beyonce puts her stuff on it.
She?
Yeah.
She doesn't release.
Suddenly I love Tidal.
She hasn't released anything new in a while, has she?
No, she's too powerful now. She doesn't have to.
Yeah, but also her stuff is on Spotify, so.
No one wants Tidal. I still remember that, like, massive, I don't know what they did, contract signing ceremony for Tidal. Mm-hmm. And Madonna, like, full wrapped herself around the table and put one leg up on the table to sign the contract. Did you see that?
I did not see that. But
it was very honestly, Madonna.
Donna has gotten progressively odd-er
yes.
in the years. It doesn't feel organic anymore.
She was always controversial, but probably now it just seems like she's trying to stir things up.
I think it's that. It doesn't feel natural, whereas before she was just, I guess, rebelling.
That was our Spotify Wrapped. I'm sure that was very interesting and surprising for everyone.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking results that you would not believe.
Yeah, I mean, but the data doesn't lie.
It doesn't lie. And we are also very excited because BTS have mentioned or like announced that they will be performing in Seoul in March next year.
Mm-hmm. Which may or may not coincide with our trip there.
Yes. So come hell or high water, we will be in Seoul in March. I'm like we have to go.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see you in Seoul in March 2022.
Yeah, and I have an army bomb now.
So I need to I'll just buy one.
Yeah, you can buy one. So yes, and like all the footage from the LA concerts looked amazing and all the special guests they had were so cool. Like they had Megan Thee Stallion, Halsey, they got Coldplay to come, which like sounds insane that this K-pop boy band were able to get such high profile. Mm-hmm. Like guests at their concert. So yeah, I was definitely extremely jealous.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun. I mean, I'm sure they were having they were having good times as well, because this is the first time that they performed in front of such a big crowd in like 2 years, I think. So they would have been very excited. And also, they will have Instagram now.
I was like, is she going to say that? Because I was going to say that.
So they have their Big Hit Entertainment like combined account, but now they officially have their own individual accounts. And honestly, the numbers on those accounts racked up so quickly.
Yes, we were following because the day of, like in a couple of hours, they were already at like 5 million or something. And now they're in the 20 million range of followers. But like I saw a TikTok story where someone was like, BTS have all got individual Instagram accounts. And the way I ran to Instagram to follow all their accounts, it was...
Followed all seven.
All seven. I was just like, follow, 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 follow. It is interesting though, because they've like limited comments. So only people they follow can comment on their posts.
Yeah. And they have been commenting on each other's pictures, like kind of like old men vibes. And some interesting content actually coming through. I think there was one picture where RM posted a picture of him taking a picture of a cat and he tags Yoongi as a cat. So
very cute. Yes. And then Sugar as well. He's the first photo he posted, he forgot to limit comments while everyone else had. So he suddenly got like 12,000 comments. And then he was like on his stories, like, Instagram's really hard. And then we had replied, go watch a YouTube tutorial. So you're definitely getting like, these are what, 40, 50-year-old men who've never been on Instagram before.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't personally. Yes. And then also V accidentally followed Jennie from Blackpink.
Yes. And like Scandal, right? What does that mean?
Yeah, everyone knew that he'd like been, you know, stalking her profile, which fair enough. Like we've all done that. And then he ran to Weverse to say, how does he unfollow? Like what help.
Are they friends?
No, he unfollowed her, but he claimed to not know how to do so. I think he really needed to make sure everyone knew that it was a mistake.
Why was he looking at her profile?
As I said, we've all done it. I don't blame him.
I am so careful when I'm on Instagram stalking someone so I don't accidentally like a post and appear on their like notifications.
Yeah, but you're not my biggest new to Instagram.
But even now, I'm so it's so dangerous. You can very easily double tap and like something. Good to know. Very excited to be following their Instagram adventures. RM seems to be the most active. He's like posting heaps.
I think he's posting about the gallery and like some art exhibitions.
I see you've been diligently liking their posts.
I have to support my voice.
You and another friend of ours who's a big army.
Oh. I'm going to say Fungal Cat Lady.
Yeah, I always see those two names.
The two.
I've already liked it. Yeah. Anyway. That's enough about their Instagram accounts.
No,
what did you watch?
We could keep talking about BTS for a while.
Is it fun? Yeah. Hey guys, is it fun to just hear about us going, so RM posted a picture of him at the museum.
We just do a boring recap on a BTS Instagram.
Sugar's posted a picture of just the red square. The next picture is him with a selfie. Is this interesting, guys? Just narrating posts. Looks like Jin ate kimchi fried rice or something.
Yeah. Yes, it looks good.
I'm sure this is riveting content.
I mean, it's riveting to me because obviously, like, we've all, I can picture exactly what you're talking about. But we will go on.
We will stop.
We will stop and we will move on to movie of the week, which this week is Happiest Season, which is the 2020, I believe. It was a Hulu movie, I think. And is, I would say, very quintessential Christmas movie. A little bit of a twist. It's a twist.
Lesbians.
Exactly right. Of course we watched it because of certain reasons.
Yes. Sorry about diversity.
So who's in this movie? Kristen Stewart, Kenzie Davis, who play the two main characters, Mary Holland, who actually helped write the movie, Aubrey Plaza. Yeah, so she plays one of the sisters, but she helped write the movie. Aubrey Plaza and Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek, who we love, and also directed by, I want to say it's Klee. Is it L-E-A?
It's
how do you
Clear say or Clear?
Clear? Clear. Probably sound more right than Klee.
Her middle name's Helen, so let's just say Helen.
Okay, so Helen Duvall.
Without her consent, without checking.
Yeah, so sorry. But yeah. I think it must be clear. Yeah, maybe clear, yeah. Helen Duvall. Okay. So she did direct this movie. She is actually an actor, and then she has recently moved into the directing sphere, I guess. And when I saw her face on like Wikipedia, I immediately knew who she was because she's been on like so many like teen movies in the 90s. So she did She's All That, and she played that art girl who threw up with the clown makeup on.
Yeah.
Her face is etched in my mind because I've seen that movie so many times. But basically she has said about this movie that it's like semi-autobiographical. Mm. So it's kind of dramatized, I would say, a reflection of like her own experiences. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting that it should come from someone who has had a similar experience. I don't know in what way it was similar, but similar enough.
She just said, in a lot of ways, this movie is autobiographical. Mm-hmm. Up top, disclaimer, it's two non-queer people talking about a movie about the queer experience. There's probably stuff that some audiences will get that has a lot of a deeper meaning, probably, like the way Clea talks about it being like reflecting her own life experiences. But I think regardless of that, it's like a very sweet Christmas movie. I really liked it. I thought it was very fun.
As I said, it's your quintessential cookie cutter Christmas movie. It's about bringing your partner home for Christmas, but they don't know it's your partner. I think Kristen Stewart, so basically Mackenzie Davis, has a very like conservative family, and then brings her partner Kristen Stewart into her home for Christmas, but because the family is very conservative, they don't know that Kristen Stewart is actually her girlfriend. It's quite a serious relationship. Like, they live together and they have a home together and everything. And then Kristen Stewart sort of has to like suck it up, I guess, basically.
Well, yeah, their relationship is very strong, and Kristen Stewart's actually like considering proposing. Oh no, she like got the ring. So yeah. She's going to propose to her. So, I mean, marriage is like pretty serious, I guess. So,
I guess.
But the biggest issue is that Mackenzie Davis is not out to her parents or her family. Mm. Mm. And this is like the conservative family of nightmares. It's so intense. It's like the waspiest, richest, most stereotypical conservative family, I think.
Yeah, so they are very conservative, as you say. Also quite privileged, like they seem pretty well off. And the dad is running for office, I think. So they really need to maintain a certain image of family and kind of like that perfect suburban family that is just inoffensive, I guess, is what they're trying to sell. And I guess a big area maybe, or like things that are kind of coming out as we do watch the movie, is that all the siblings, so Mackenzie Davis, Alison Brie also plays a sister, and then so does Mary Holland. They all have like things that are going on that they can't really express to their family because of said like conservatism and trying to keep mum about issues that may seem controversial.
Yeah. You see that all three of them have deep, deep issues related to the childhoods they had and the way their parents raised them. So yeah, I guess for Mackenzie Davis's character, her name's Harper. The main thing is that she can't feel that she can come out to them. And especially because, like, she seems to be, like, the favorite kid. Her dad loves her because she's really smart and she's a journalist or something. So he always, like, loves trotting her out at, like, donor meetings or any sort of, I don't know, in his quest to become a mayor, he always trots her out and she's the one that he can use to impress people and show off how, you know, how smart his daughter is and what a great family he has. So that's, like, extra pressure on her.
Yeah, you kind of do feel bad for her because you can tell, like, she genuinely does love her dad. She loves, like, she doesn't mind doing that for him as well. But there's just, like, this core part of her that she really can't express because she's, I guess, fearful of what they'll say and how they treat her because, yeah, she does love her parents.
Yeah, and then her mom is insane. Her mom is, like, the most intense housewife character. And she's walking around taking pictures with her iPad, which is the most old people thing. I'm sorry, old people, but like, I've only really seen old people do it. But it looks like ridiculous.
Like, you take your iPad out from your pocket and take this huge ass like picture. That's probably not that great quality.
Yeah. So the whole movie, the mom is basically the dad's social media manager and is like walking around with this iPad taking photos to upload to show once again what a perfect family they have. It's pretty ridiculous. And they always keep mentioning like, 'cause Abby's parents have passed away. And they keep talking about her like as the orphan friend. They're like, oh, you're an orphan. What was it like growing up in the orphanage? And she's like, my parents died when I was 19. So like some weird Christmas orphan.
I mean, I think they kind of, this is probably Mackenzie Davis, like, so her partner has kind of sold her as an orphan, I think. It's just like, maybe that's why they keep referring to her as an orphan.
My poor sweet orphan friend.
Yeah, because basically she's like, my friend is coming. The reason why she's coming, she's got nowhere else to go. She has no parents. And they're like, oh, no. And then that's how they, like, sort of accept her because she's not part of the family technically. They kind of open arms and a lot of pity have, you know, taken her in.
Way too much pity.
Yeah.
I guess basically you see how Harper and her sister Sloan, who's Alison Brie's character, you see that they're extremely competitive, while Jane is a bit strange. Jane is like, is she supposed to be the younger sister?
I always thought she was like the oldest, but I have no clue as well. The character of Jane is probably not my favorite. I struggled to find where she sat in the story because it seemed like they kind of half-assed her story as well as half-assed her upbringing, as they do say later.
Yeah. It seemed like she was just there for comedic relief, I think, to compare to the other two sisters.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where, like, to me, like, that fell a little bit short because it wasn't super funny. Like, to me, there were other stronger comedic actors. So Dan Levy, who plays, like, the role of the gay best friend, he's genuinely, like, really good. He's got good comedic timing. Like, we know him from Schitt's Creek and everything. He's got that down pat. So when you have, like, Mary Holland, I'm sure she's great on her own. But, like, just in comparison, I'm like, oh, well. You know, and then also because her story is kind of strange, like it's just that she's just trying really hard, she's really chipper, but no one really takes her seriously. And then we have that scene where she paints something, like it's like a white elephant Kris Kringle. She paints something like really, really nice, and then everyone just like destroys the painting, and then she's just like, spent 20 hours on that.
I think she spent like 100 hours on that.
100 hours or whatever.
Yeah, Dan Levy's character is basically just David from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
I feel. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, you know, it's a home run that you're going to love it because he's basically very, what's the word? Very dismissive about like marriage and that sort of thing. So he doesn't understand why Kristen Stewart's character would propose to Mackenzie Davis. Mm-hmm. And he's a bit irresponsible. Like, because while she's going to Harper's place for Christmas, she's like, oh, you can look after my pets. So she has heaps of pets. She has like fish and dogs and cats. And he basically ends up killing the fish.
Yeah. The other ones are fine. It's just a fish.
Honestly, I wouldn't be too concerned if out of those three, the fish died.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Probably easiest to die. So I wouldn't. Yeah. Anyway.
He's never replaced.
Yeah. He kind of plays like the voice of reason, I guess. So, well, I don't know, say that lightly. But when Kristen Stewart kind of tells him about the situation and how Mackenzie isn't ready to come out to her parents, he's the one who's kind of like, that's a red flag. Like, I would definitely be concerned about that. And I think from our perspective, we see Kristen Stewart because she's the person in that actual situation and like really cares for Mackenzie, kind of understands maybe that struggle more. Not really sure, rather than Dan Levy, who feels very like comfortable in his sexuality. Like we see he's a very confident character. Maybe it's just that he doesn't quite understand like the nuances of her family and that relationship. Maybe that's why he's just like, that's not a great idea, or like it seems like it could end up in a disaster.
It is a bit of a dog act though, because Mackenzie Davis invites Kristen Stewart to come to her place for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And then Kirsten's like, yeah, okay, cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then basically on the drive there is when she admits that she's not actually out to her parents, that then they think that Kirsten Stewart is just like a orphan roommate friend. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like when she's trapped in the car already halfway there or something, that she realizes the truth.
Yeah, like she traps her in this strange situation.
Yeah, where so she doesn't really have a choice.
Yeah, she doesn't have a choice, but she also has no way out really without making Mackenzie look bad. And then I think in addition, like some of the other hurdles in the movie are that the ex-boyfriend that she previously dated does turn up, I would say randomly, but maybe it's not that random. So there's like tensions between that because her family is kind of like, you know, doesn't know her life. And then also, like, they also, so Mackenzie has an ex-girlfriend, which is Aubrey Plaza, that plays another, like, side plot. And they keep talking about how she's just chosen to have this lifestyle. You know, you can tell that kind of, not kind of, they are homophobic. Like,
yeah,
they don't understand that. So I think that's also playing a part in how Mackenzie doesn't want to talk to her parents. You can understand from that perspective, I think, why she wouldn't even more feel bad for her.
Yeah, because Riley's a doctor, and then the parents are like, oh, it must be nice being a doctor, but it's such a shame about her lifestyle. So,
yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that happened when this movie came out was that a lot of people felt that Kristen Stewart's character had way more chemistry with Aubrey Plaza.
I have to agree.
Do you agree? I think it's just the way Aubrey looks. It's like, oh, he looks so good.
Yeah, I think she has like a certain charm as well. And I think we have seen her in a lot of movies where she kind of, you know, she plays that April character from Parks and Rec. It's very like sarcastic and funny. Whereas this one, the comedy is kind of downplayed a little bit. She does have like that still, she still has that charm to her. But I do think that Kristen Stewart, Aubrey Plaza chemistry was really nice. And I kind of wish that had gone that route, because I think both Aubrey and Kristen Stewart at that period of time were at the same stage where they had, like, they were fully comfortable with their sexuality. They accepted all these things about themselves and were, like, ready for, I guess, a relationship. Whereas Mackenzie, you can see that she's struggling. She's not there yet. Like, she is there, but in a different life, like, not in this particular life where she's with her family. Like, she can't give her all in all situations, which I think is what like Kristen really, really needs.
Yeah, and I think it just in general in the scenes where they're together, like Aubrey Plaza and Kristen Stewart, like chemistry is just off the charts. Like they're matching, like they both wear a lot of suits and they look good together. So I think there's something about that. And Aubrey Plaza is so charismatic. You're like, oh, you guys look so good together.
It's aesthetically.
Aesthetic, yeah.
But I think also, yeah, in the conversations, you can see that there is definitely chemistry and an understanding of their own situations, because I think Aubrey had also been in a similar situation.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to not like Harper for a lot of this movie because, one, like we said, she traps Kristen Stewart in this situation where she can't escape. She's stuck with pretending that she's just a friend for this whole holiday, having to live with her parents and deal with all this uncomfortable situations, because the family dynamic is so uncomfortable as well. Like the siblings are always fighting. It's very catty. And then you find out as well from Riley that back when they were dating in high school or something, they got caught, and instead of admitting her identity and standing by Riley, she just sort of outed Riley and watched as she got bullied and pretended she had no part in it. So you kind of see why people, at least the audience, would not like Harper for a lot of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's done some pretty terrible things.
She is not likable, but you do kind of understand where she's coming from and why she would act out in those ways, because she's like, she's hurt. I think one of the storylines, so with the sister, the Alison Brie character, her marriage to her husband, is that there's a lot of tension between that as well. So she kind of talks about their job, which they make like luxury hampers or something really.
They make luxury gift experiences in reclaimed wooden vessels.
Okay. Well, it's very niche.
Baskets. Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow loves them. Goop. Okay.
Well, that doesn't mean much to me. Yeah, they make luxury gift experiences, whatever. She always like, talks about such disdain. You can tell she's really unhappy with the way her life has turned out. I guess we find out that her husband and her are separated. And we find that out in a very, I guess, how do we say it?
Shocking.
Yeah. And then she releases her anger onto Mackenzie because, as you say, like they are quite competitive. Like she outs Mackenzie in front of her parents. I'm like, oh God. Like,
oh yeah, that was the worst.
It's a bit low.
It wasn't even just in front of her parents. It was in front of the whole party. So it was family. It was like the donors for her dad's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, it's so interesting seeing the two sisters hate each other so much. And you can see how the parents kind of set them up for that, because Sloane is always dismissed. So whenever her dad's like, oh, Harper, come talk to a donor with me, Alison Brie's like, you know, should I come? Like, I'm also a law graduate. Like, I know things. And he's like, no, you just don't bother. Yeah. And she seems only useful to him because she married a black man and has biracial kids. And they love, it seems like there's this undercurrent of them trotting out the kids as his like little diversity card in the family.
For me, it was that easy.
Yeah. So you can see how frustrated she is. But it was really gross the way she latched onto Harper's secret and then announced it to everyone. Yeah. I was like, that's a low. That's a low blow.
Totally.
Alison Brie does a great job. I think she's been doing a great job recently of playing really shitty, like, Karens.
She always plays, like, the wife character who asks for a bit too much. She is a good actor.
Yeah, because she did it in Promising Young Woman. She was also that Karen-y, waspy wife, housewife, unhappy in her life or how her life had turned out.
Yeah.
So she's real great at that. I hope it doesn't reflect her personal life.
Feel bad if so.
But yeah, basically Kirsten Stewart is having a horrible time at Christmas with Harper's family, particularly because Sloane's two kids plant a necklace in her bag while they're out shopping, and then everyone thinks she's a shoplifter as well as being an orphan. So she's having a horrible time, and basically she feels ignored by Harper because Harper just keeps talking to her ex-boyfriend and she just doesn't recognize the person that she was about to propose to. So basically Dan Levy's character comes all the way. He's a great friend as much as he killed her fish to rescue her.
He's still loyal.
Yeah, he's still loyal. He got her back. He's the most loyal person, to be honest. Mm. And then when Sloane does out Harper as lesbian, Harper immediately denies it. So that's when Abby, like, wants to leave.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess there's a little spat where, you know, they kind of come into terms with, like, their status of the relationship and stuff. I do feel like this part, which should be, like, I guess the climax of the movie, you know, there's all this tension that had been building up and then now we're here at this point. And it gets resolved very, very quickly. Almost like, I think you can see Kristen Stewart's character. Like, she's just so frustrated throughout this whole thing, this whole experience, as you can imagine. She's stuck here. She's trying her best to understand the situation. But I think that was maybe the final straw in which she was like, there's actually no hope. Like, even when she's given a chance to, you know, it's not ideal, of course, but it was out of her control. But she could have used that moment to kind of reclaim her identity and just own up to it. And she doesn't. And she doesn't do it or Stewart's character either. So there's that point where, you know, she is very frustrated and she's angry. And then I think, but she's also like, I don't want to lose you. I can. And for me, I was kind of like, no, but she did something really, really bad. And it wasn't even just one thing. Like, this is the whole, like, many days they've been in this situation for that. Like, that's a lot. Like, it's a lot for anyone to take. Yeah, like, I feel bad for both sides, but I'm like, no, like, you definitely need to sit down and, like, think about things. Like, this is some deep-seated issue that can't just be, like, resolved by saying I'm sorry. Like, yeah. There's a lot of things that are happening. You can't just, like, release all this, you know, stuff that you've been harboring for years.
And then it's fine.
Yeah, because it's not, isn't it just like, oh, I've never told them, haha. But she blatantly, like, lies about it.
Yeah, I think it, like, there's, like, a very sweet, I think, and probably the emotional crux of this movie is a conversation between Dan Levy and Kristen Stewart's character after it's been like, oh, no, I'm not lesbian, and, you know, Kristen Stewart walks out the house and he follows her. And then they have this conversation about what it's like to come out. And I guess it's, like, you know, it's still a thing where that's sort of expected because if you are queer, that's not the default. So you're expected to have this moment of coming out. And then for Kirsten Stewart's character, when she did, her parents were like, I support you. Like, there's nothing bad about it. So she doesn't have that experience. Whereas Dan Levy's character is like, well, I did it. And I got kicked out of the house for 13 years and my parents didn't talk to me. So it's a reminder that it's a reminder that he gives her that it actually is really hard for Harper because she doesn't know what would happen if she does come out. Like, she might lose her whole family forever, which is a very scary thing. So I think that's the thing that gets Kristen to, like, understand her a bit more, the Harper situation. But I would agree that it does a very typical, very rushed, happy ending thing that Christmas movies do. Because even the parents who are, like, awful in a way after one quick conversation, they're like, okay, like everything's fine. And the sisters as well, like their relationships are immediately repaired after Sloane did that horrible thing. It's just like, well, okay, it's fine. Like the dad's, the mom's just like, oh, we raised our kids wrong. Like what have we done when they're too scared to tell us that, you know, I need to get divorced. I'm unhappy in my marriage. And it's like, okay, well, we're fixed now.
Yeah.
It fixes itself in like a night.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, because these are like issues that are sort of ingrained in the way that they were brought up, but also just like, I guess, their traditional values as well. So it's like, you know, comments like what they'd said about Aubrey being like, oh, shame about her lifestyle and stuff like that. Like, that's not just casual homophobia, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, that's like pretty deeply ingrained in your language if you say something like that in 2020, I would say, no matter how old you are. Like, it is just, that is, if you speak like that, it's definitely like something harboring there. It's not just whatever. So the fact that it is, I mean, I think they do try to pass it off as like, oh, that's your daughter, think about it, like, you know, in that sort of respect, rather than let's just talk about it on a whole. So they are trying to explain it away in a way that is like, okay, it's okay because it's my daughter, right? Like it's something fine now because I understand, because my daughter is now hurt because of this, because of my actions. In a way, it is just like setting up a really quick happy ending. Whereas we know like that probably wouldn't happen in real life. I mean, not to say that Christmas movies are like realistic, I guess, or a reflection of real life. I think it's just feels really, really convenient in a movie that had sort of set itself in reality, I would say, or like some kind of, or grounded itself in more like a realistic situation. Like, so having conversations like that where you're like, yeah, like we hear about that still here now, like people have different experiences. Unfortunately, not everyone has a good one. And then just to have it like just so quickly resolved, you're kind of like, oh, like you're just kind of like taken out of that realistic grounding. You're just kind of taken from like there to like, okay, now we're back into this happy-go-lucky Christmas movie. I think it's just like that shift in tone. I think for me, it was just like, oh, okay.
It's very quick. Dad does do something good, because he gets a call from his major donor who was at the party and was privy to this whole outburst. And she's like, I'll only fund your campaign if it's like a don't ask, don't tell sort of policy. We just keep this hidden. Basically, she wants Harper to pretend to be straight. And he goes, no. And, he, you know, he does the right thing and he rejects her donation. He's like, well, if I don't get May, I don't get May. I'm not going to like sell out my kid or do anything like that. But yeah, it is a very like quick, happy ending, which I feel like is good and bad in certain ways. Like, it does feel a bit rushed, but then you're like, I would rather have a happy ending than have this Christmas movie be like sad.
I think it kind of does veer towards that, because it is like a pretty serious topic, I think. Like, it does deal with a lot of serious topics, And so maybe they could have, you know, done a more smoother transition in that, rather than just like push and pull like in such drastic directions, because I think we get like a lot of drama in this, whereas I like, you know, there's also a lot of comedy, but then the comedy at some stage kind of stops, like,
and it's so real.
Yeah, and then it's like too real, and then he goes back to comedy and just like, oh, this is fine now. But yeah, I would prefer the happy ending, of course.
There's that moment where Harper like finally admits, or like comes clean about who she is and opens up. And then Kirsten Stewart comes back into the house and she's like, I did it. Like, I said everything. I'm so sorry about the way I treated you, but like, you know, let's be together. Like, I love you, that sort of thing. And then Kirsten Stewart, I think understandably, is kind of like, I can't, like, this has been too hard on me. I just need to go home, and I'm not sure about us. And there's like this close up of Mackenzie Davis's heart just breaking. Like, she just like her, it's like she has a physical reaction to the pain that she's lost this person, and it's so sad, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
this movie got really dark.
Yeah, I think it's just, dealing with things that I think feel too real.
You're like, oh, no, this is, like, really bad. I would say overall, like, I don't know, this feels like it has the makings of a classic that you could watch at Christmas, because, you know, parts of it are delightful and there are funny bits. And I think I'm also saying that because this week I watched Christmas in a Castle, or A Castle for Christmas.
God, I told you not
that
to.
That was not good. I know. I should have listened to you. Just another example of what I should have listened to you.
I told you I tried and I said I couldn't.
And this was so bad. And then I'm watching this one. I'm like, oh, what a...
Really?
God, I love this quality.
Well, I did say not to watch Christmas in a Castle because I think that one is just so bad. It's unwatchable.
That's coming
from us. We love those bad.
Oh, sorry, it's called A Castle for Christmas.
Castle for Christmas. Sorry, that one is just terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's this movie to me, it's not bad. It has, you say, the makings of a good movie, whether it's a good movie for me, particularly when I watched it. I think just the disconnect between like the comedy and the drama was just like a lot. I didn't find that sister character, the Mary Holland character, particularly funny as well, so it kind of ruined it for me. But I did really like the sentiment behind it, that it is just you know, your regular Christmas movie with a little bit of a like spin, I guess. I did in a way really enjoy that it was like so realistic in a way, because you know, Christmas movies really, I think at this moment, are like kind of expanding into different types of Christmases and different types of families. Like, it isn't always just going to be happy-go-lucky, and sometimes that drama or the complication of the movie can come from something that's just inherent, like your family. Things like that, where it's like, oh, that's a pretty clever way of doing it. I just wish there was more comedy, or I don't know, maybe to kind of balance it out. Maybe because it was just very, very serious at the end.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I really liked it. What was I going to say? Well, no, I think, yeah, what you said before, that we've had a lot of movies like this where it's like you take someone home to Christmas and, you know, there's a secret, or you're just pretending to be a couple. Like, it's a story we've seen heaps, but it's nice to get like a spin on it and try to tell or show different relationships and different
family structures as well.
Different family structures and all that. So it's nice to have more of those stories on our screens and it's like a mainstream movie, you know, for major audiences. So I think that's really good. And I think the casting was pretty good as well.
Yeah, no issues with that. I would like to see Aubrey Plaza in more movies. I think she's so good. And
yeah.
Dan Levy in non-David
non-David roles.
It's kind of hard to separate him though from that character. I think that character is so distinct in my mind.
And Kristen Stewart's good as well. Yes. I feel like some people write her off purely because of Twilight. And I feel like she has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
She's not a bad actress.
Yeah.
Give her a chance. If you feel like, yeah, if you've just written her off because of Twilight, give her a chance. She has range.
I like her in different movie roles. She's not just Bella Swan, who, by the way, is meant to be boring. So what can you do?
Yeah, she was written that way. So what was she supposed to do?
What can you do with something like that?
Yeah.
But yeah, like overall, I didn't mind it. Not my favorite Christmas movie, I would say, but worth a shot, definitely. If you're into exploring different Christmas movie options, maybe you're bored of the same old, something you want a little bit more clever.
Go for it. If you've just watched A Castle for Christmas and you need to mind bleach yourself, watch this one. Happier season. It has Brooke Shields in it.
Yeah.
A Castle for Christmas. What was she thinking?
I felt like that was the most promising bit of the movie.
Yeah.
Brooke Shields in it. But as soon as I saw who the love interest was going to be and the whole premise of it, I was like, this ain't it.
It's bad. I didn't finish it.
I didn't either.
But it just seemed, it like looked cheap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely
so low effort. Yeah. But even the story and everything, not for me.
I think with the resurgence of Christmas movies, because now like they're so readily available and they're available on all streaming services, I think people mistake the ones that we find like really cheesy and cliche and stuff. Mistake that with just going to chuck some things together and hope for the best just because it's going to be popular or people are going to watch them. Like, no, we can tell. We're not stupid. Like,
in A Princess Switch 3, there's a scene where Vanessa Ann Hudgens is doing the tango with Vanessa Ann Hudgens.
Yeah.
That's effort.
Tell me how you did that. Like,
I don't know how to move magic.
That's the kind of commitment that I want from all movies.
Yeah. I ain't seeing that in A Castle. Brooke did not bring that energy to A Castle for Christmas, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, maybe she's not allowed to.
Well, they didn't write her a movie where she could bring that sort of effort in.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Happiest Season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to? Oh, I don't know if you've, because you've already watched it, but I haven't watched it properly ever. It's like The Holiday.
Yeah, we went to The Holiday. I've seen it many. I think I watched it in cinemas. And then it was,
oh, really?
I've watched it a few times since then. Yeah.
I have never watched it properly.
I think it's actually quite sweet.
Okay.
I think it's surprising. And it's a surprising cast. Surprising, I mean Jack Black.
Jack Black's in it?
Yeah.
Wait, let me look at the poster again.
Like, you see Jude
Law.
He's
not in the poster. Oh, he is on the poster.
Yeah. And Kate Winslet. So you see Jude Law and you see Cameron Diaz and you're like, yeah, like, whatever, that makes sense. And you see Jack Black and you're like, oh.
I love Jack
Black.
I guess
he's famous.
Yeah.
I think it is a surprising cast, but also I think it genuinely has like a sweet moments, but curious to see how you feel about it. I think it's also, I wonder if it's aged well.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm going to answer my own question and we're going to watch The Holiday next week. So come prepared, everyone.
You mean?
That's your homework.
Yeah.
Any last minute announcements, proclamations? Anything I heard about Ariana Grande was her looking really Asian in a new photo.
Yeah, I saw that. I think the makeup artist did her dirty, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think she was trying to be anything. Like, she's probably, if that was me in those photos, I probably wouldn't be very happy because I'm like, she looks so washed out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not her face, it's the photo.
The photography. Yeah, she was really funny. So. Yeah.
It's like there's another picture of her with that same makeup and she looks fine.
Oh, but it's just like the way the photo was taken.
It's like whitens her skin.
Yeah. And so it looked like overexposed and flash or whatever.
Yeah. And so you actually don't see like any of her definition in her eyes or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas that makeup is not like unusual for her to wear. I don't think she's wearing pale foundation or anything. Like, I think it's just genuinely the photo. So I feel a bit bad, but also I get it.
Funny.
Also, like, the jokes that are coming out of it are kind of funny, so I'll leave it be.
It's funny because, like, the way the photo is washed out, you can't see, like, her double eyelid, so she looks monolidded.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just so washed out that you can't see it in definition. And then I saw something where Ollie London commented on it and was like,
transracial queen.
Yeah, and he was like, we should be king and queen of Korea. I was like, oh, God, if that was me and Oi London commented that about me, I would be like, immediately, I'm out. Like,
yeah,
this is
that
this
would
is
be
not
my
it.
Last straw.
Yeah. This is not it. Yeah.
Because I think she ended up deleting the photo. But I also, if Oi London did that to me, I would delete it. I'd be like, I don't want any evidence that,
that you support
I'm anywhere near him. Yeah.
100%.
He's the worst.
But also, I don't think she meant anything by it, so feel bad as well.
She'll survive, I'm sure.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly. And then Kim K won, like, some costume thing. Did you see it? When she was wearing, like, some cat costume.
I'm so out of the loop. Like, she entered a costume competition?
It was, like, an award. She
what
wore
the hell?
This
fashion icon at People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, and then she wore that mask, eye mask thing.
Oh.
Thanks, Kanye.
Oh, what does that mean? Oh, I saw that Tristan cheated on Chloe again.
Yeah, oh my goodness, what a loser.
Oh my gosh, she just needs to, like, drop him. Like, there's no...
He's such a loser.
How many times is he going to do that? Like,
just spreading his loser seeds everywhere.
Yes, like, please, no more, Tristan.
No more, like, seriously. I think it's an ego thing at this point.
Oh, because he keeps getting away with it as well.
So stupid. Apparently he's bad at basketball too, so.
What's he even good for?
What I'm saying,
impregnating women.
Like, he's just an ego thing. Like, he needs to prove himself, so he just goes and does whatever he wants. Ooh. And then now he's literally paying for that. Yeah.
Mm. I bought the same leggings that Kendall Jenner wears.
Which ones?
Alo
Yoga?
Yeah. They're not bad.
Bad.
I was like, oh, maybe this will make me look like Kendall.
Mm.
But you would be shocked to find out it doesn't.
Mm.
I still look like me.
Like, I could have saved you $100.
But they're actually really comfortable. Like, they're really comfortable.
Like, they're yoga pants. Like, how could they be bad?
Because if I compare them to the girlfriend one, I feel like you would actually wear the girlfriend ones if you wanted to do sport.
Didn't you?
Whereas the aloe ones, I don't think they'd be useful for sport.
Didn't you get the non-compression friend ones?
So for both brands, I got a version that's non-compression and compression.
Okay.
So I got both.
Mm.
And I think for both girlfriend ones, you would actually use them to do physical activity.
Mm.
But the aloe ones are super comfortable and just feel like lounging.
I think because aloe is like a yoga specific brand, like yoga leggings, you don't want compression, I would think. Mm. You want them to be like quite freeing on the legs so that you can do your
stretchies,
splits and stuff.
Oh yeah, I would do the splits. No, but the girlfriend ones, the waist is like made in a way that won't slip down, whereas the aloe ones don't have that. So anyway, that's little leggings corner.
Interesting.
Yeah, I still haven't bought Lululemon ones.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not brave enough to try the other brands because I'm like, well,
you're committed.
Just buy the one that I know fits. I feel like that's
fair enough.
I don't know. I feel like there's probably a whole range of legging brands that I could explore, but I'm not ready. I think the girlfriend ones are definitely like appealing to me, but since you said compression, I'm out.
No, the other ones are not compression.
Okay.
One of them is, but the waist, the way the waist is made is like non-slippy. So I think when you're putting them on, when you're trying to get them over the hips, you're a bit like, oh, like, do you remember when we were trying on pants in Korea and it just like wouldn't go for our hips, our large Australian hips?
Remind me, that was actually the saddest. It was really sad.
I was just like, oh my god, like I took them in and it just seemed like our usual size.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, these aren't even happening.
I looked at the waist and I was like, oh, the waist fits. And usually that's enough.
Yeah.
The legs usually would have enough stretch in them, but the legs did not have enough stretch in them.
Oh, no. It was just like, this is never happening. Actually, not in a million years.
Which is disappointing. Because they were like good cuts and good length and stuff.
Something about our hips.
Not sure.
Just doesn't work over there.
It's fine.
Anyway, that's leggings and pants corner.
Yeah.
Bit of a bonus.
Yeah. Love leggings.
But anyway, I hope you guys are all keeping comfortable wearing leggings or whatever the equivalent is for you. Thank you for listening. And until next time, bye.
Bye.